In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to discuss the second Sunday in Advent of Cycle B. And the first thing we're going to do again is look at Dei Verbum. I'm going to return a bit to the text itself. For 2 weeks now we've been looking more broadly at the notion of the spiritual sense. Now I'm going to pick up with paragraph 38, which continues that discussion. This is how the Pope begins paragraph 38. In rediscovering the interplay between the different senses of Scripture, it thus becomes essential to grasp the passage from letter to spirit, which is what we're going to discuss. Here's the problem in our modern day. The spiritual senses seem to mean, well, they do in our way we use the word sense, the spiritual interpretation. Spiritual sense means the spiritual meaning. What does the text mean in its depth? And the depths of the text, you see, are in a way infinite, because the author is God. So the spiritual sense is not that I see, oh, here's Exodus, and here's baptism, or here's the cross, and I can see a relationship, and I talk about it. I'm Cyril of Alexandria, or anybody you want, and I see this. And that's the spiritual sense, that I see the meaning between these two texts. No. It's that I see the reality as it relates, this one to that one. It's historical realities. That's why, for instance, de Lubac's famous book on origin is called Histoire et Esprit, History and Spirit. See, it's understanding the realities mediated by the text, and we're enabled to do that because the Holy Spirit shows us the relationship between the realities, not the relationship between the words. See, if you look at any dictionary, sensus spiritualis, nous pneumaticos, the first meaning, you know, the first definition is not the spiritual meaning that I can get by examining this text and that text. It means the spiritual understanding of the text. That's different. If I don't see that relationship between Exodus and redemption, I don't have a spiritual understanding of the text. It's that simple. I can have a philosophical, I can have a historical, philological, but I cannot have a spiritual understanding of the text unless I see that relationship. What's my authority for saying that? The whole of the New Testament. Over and over and over again, this is what they're doing. And they're showing us. Besides the fact that we have text, which is Luke is one, or John, you read Moses, and he spoke of me. Doesn't say, if you read of Moses, you can get an idea from there of how this text might resemble that text. No. Moses spoke of me. He spoke of me in an anticipated, participated form. But he spoke of me. Until I understand that, I don't understand the full reality of the sacred text. Now, enough of my... But I think it's so important because so many of these discussions about spiritual sense are what I get out of the text, not what the Holy Spirit shows me of the reality mediated by the text. That's enough of that, right? So now we're going to go on. The grass, the passage from letter to spirit, which is exactly that, right? The words to the reality. Thus, this is not an automatic, spontaneous passage. Rather, the letter needs to be transcended. If all I mean is, this is just an account of David weeping over his son. Now, that has to be transcended, but that doesn't mean left behind. I need it. But I need it in its full depth. Okay. Now, this is a quote. The word of God can never simply be equated with the letter of the text. To attain to it involves a progression and a process of understanding, guided by the inner movement of the whole corpus, and hence it also has to become a vital process. They're talking about is that I don't get an isolated sense of this text. I get a sense of the whole plan of salvation, the whole process, as it's called here. You may think that I'm making too much of this, but you know, I've been 55 years in this business, and I can tell you, if you don't get this, you're severely handicapped. And there's been so much mockery heaped on it, heaped on the misunderstanding of it. Okay. Here we see the reason why an authentic process of interpretation is never purely an intellectual process, but also a lived one, demanding full engagement in the life of the church, which is life according to the Spirit. In other words, we have to be living by the Spirit in order to understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches through the text. Through a criteria set forth in number 12 of the Dogmatic Constitution Dei Verbum, thus becomes clearer. That's the paragraph where the first part urges people to learn the languages, the literary forms, the culture of the various milieu which produce the Old Testament. Absolutely necessary. You can't do serious work today without that, because it's available. And if I don't have that, I'm putting my own idea on it. The great work of popularization is to make that available without being ponderous, and to show people the spiritual advantage of learning that. And it comes in the next part of what's said here, you see. But a lived one demanding full engagement in the life of this church, which is life according to the Spirit. And then these criteria set forth in number 12 of Dei Verbum. The progression cannot take place with regard to an individual literary fragment unless it is seen in relation to the whole of Scripture. Indeed, the goal to which we are necessarily progressing is one word with a capital W. There is an inner drama in this process, since the passage that takes place in the power of the Spirit inevitably engages each person's freedom. St. Paul lived this passage to the full in his own life. In his words, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He expressed in radical terms the significance of this process of transcending the letter. You could also say penetrating the letter. You only transcend what the text is saying on its surface. But it's mediating a reality. And that reality, you see, you don't transcend, you penetrate and see how it relates to Christ. Okay. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of freedom is not simply the exegete's own idea, the exegete's own vision. The Spirit is Christ, as that same text says. You know, turn to the Spirit who is Christ. And Christ is the Lord who shows us the way. We know that for St. Augustine, too, this passage was at once dramatic and liberating. He came to believe the Scriptures, which at first sight struck him as so disjointed in themselves, and in places so coarse, he calls this first time he read the Scriptures, he found them trivialis et sordidus, lightweight and useless, kind of. But then he learned from St. Ambrose, what's called here the process of transcending the letters. I'm sure that's good terminology, but see, in another way, we don't transcend the letter, we penetrate it. because we touch the reality mediated by the letter. Okay? Wherein the entire and Old Testament is a path to Christ. For St. Augustine, transcending the literal sense, made the letter itself credible and enabled him to find at last the answer to his deep inner restlessness and his thirst for truth. And that he describes in his Confessions, Augustine. But can you see? It's a spiritual process, and it's accomplished by the Holy Spirit. If I pick up the Scriptures without that help from the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read about the Exodus and say, well, a part of this is probably, you know, mythic maybe, exaggeration. And it doesn't quite jive. They walked through with water on each side. They walked right through. And then it says, it said that the water was piled up like walls. The other text says, dried out. I mean, there are things I have to contend with. Huh? But as the Holy Spirit takes me by the hand, and through my hard work and pondering the Hebrew text and looking at this and looking at that, he finally brings me so that I see spiritually, I see the reality. Then I understand why. Most of the terminology that is applied to what our Lord accomplished on the cross comes from the terminology of the Exodus, especially the passage through the Red Sea, but the whole of the Exodus. Now it makes sense. But you see, that is a spiritual sense. It's a spiritual understanding, not a spiritual meaning. It's a spiritual understanding given by the Holy Spirit. So then are you saying everybody who's going to do Scripture has to be a mystic? Yeah. In one way or another, doesn't have to be, you don't have to be John at the cross, but that wouldn't be a bad idea if we could do it. But it does mean we have to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now we're going to start on the next paragraph rapidly, and then we'll bring that up, number 39, next time. It's called The Bible's Intrinsic Unity. There was just a beautiful article on that. In fact, there are many written recently by Paul Beauchamp. There's others too. In the passage from Letter to Spirit, we also learn within the Church's great tradition to see the unity of all Scripture, grounded in the unity of God's Word, which challenges our life and constantly calls us to conversion. The Pope, in his own autobiography, is describing the impact that St. Bonaventure had on him. And he says, truly, for Bonaventure, you see, revelation is not in the text. It's in the understanding of the text. You can read, and never get what the text is mediating. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that every exegete has to be praying to the Holy Spirit? Yeah. There's no way around that. Now, what we've done, there was so much work to do to get dictionaries for some of my work. I used to teach the Targumim. There still is no good dictionary of the Aramaic of that time. You see, we need dictionaries, we need grammars, we need history, we need stuff. And that could be a lifetime work for someone to provide that instrument so that we can move on to understand the spiritual sense.